In Jesus' name, let us quieten ourselves before the text, one of the texts for this week. And the topic for this week for the church is Pardon Me. Last week, text explained about this matter, and also this text that I shall read, the Gospel according to John in chapter 8, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard which Christ said, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing. Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This was quite provocative from the Pharisees, even from the Pharisees. It was especially provocative that that did not happen often. Think of the situation. Christ was teaching at the temple. He sat down. He was sitting while he was teaching, as it says in our text. And these are small issues that one who sees, notices. They seen that he was sitting. They notice that he sat down. And it says here that he sat in peace. I have served the church as a priest for over 40 years. And during those 40 years, I have often been able to go sit in a preaching chair behind a pulpit. There was no chair behind the pulpit. We had to stand. Yet still we call it as a chair. I knew one priest who actually brought a chair and kept a sermon by sitting. I will not mention his name here. And this is because of old tradition. I do not quite remember. I do not ever remember that in a pulpit at church that the priest would have held worship by sitting. They have always stood up. This is probably because of that. The pulpit at church is up high because before there were no loudspeakers or microphones. And often I was warned not to turn very much at the pulpit because when you turn your head, the microphone will not pick up your voice. But these days, like here at these Suvies, I can turn my head anyway, and you can still hear my voice. It is not that I speak up or down, but I speak unto people who sit and listen with that prayer of heart that the Heavenly Father would give wisdom and the right words, words of love. That the sermon would embolden believers to journey with a clean conscience, and that we would have such a mind, even after this sermon, that there is nothing in this world that is worth it, that is so worthwhile as our faith. And it is because of our faith that it is preserved in our hearts, which means this, that if living faith is preserved in our hearts, it means that Jesus Christ lives within us. And if Christ lives through faith in us, then in our hearts, there's God's kingdom in our hearts. Every child of God here at summer services carries a piece of heaven. The kingdom of God has been hidden in your heart, even though we cannot see it. We see God's kingdom. We cannot see this God's kingdom that we carry in our heart through the Holy Spirit. We cannot see this. Jesus sat and taught. The small issues were stuck in my mind. We can tell that this is written by an eyewitness. And when he sat there after the Sabbath, early in the morning, and he was teaching all the people, the people either sat or stood. Jesus himself sat. Even this pulpit, we talk about the preacher's chair, even though there's no chair. Close to Christ were his disciples, and further away were the other people. And in this text it is said that early in the morning, when Jesus came, these pages are so thin that I have to wet my finger to turn the pages. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. Think, when this situation happens, early in the morning, Christ is sitting in peace. There are a lot of people who came to listen. Maybe some are moving. Maybe some people are coming and going. And Christ is teaching. It is very provocative. In such a situation, righteous people, Pharisees and scribes, came unto him and force a woman along with them, and they came through the crowd, to Christ. This was a very, very public, provocative act that was seen when they place this Jewish woman before Christ. They wanted to tempt Jesus. And John writes in this way, when he writes later, but it is written here in the Gospel of John. It says here in a new translation, that through the apostles we knew that Christ worked in this way. Another act that was questionable was that a woman was dragged through a crowd. So that everyone could point a finger at the woman. It was very humbling experience for the woman. But there was the other side also. He was a wife of some man. And she was caught in bed with another man. There was in question a very big sin. Sin breaking a marriage. Do not commit adultery. And here we speak about committing adultery. For God's word forbids all adultery outside of marriage. And Christ was pushed in a corner. First, he had to see and witness how this poor woman was publicly humiliated, regardless of her sin. And they wanted to see how Christ would react when this woman was caught in adultery. This happening is recorded here in the Gospel of John. Now, earlier, it's explained they were day before they were celebrating a festive day. And in chapters 8 and 9 explain of this celebration and what happened after. The whole 7th of each chapter. Speaks of this celebration. And at the end of this last chapter, it is explained that everyone went home. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and later came to the temple. Do you know what this celebration was? This year, is a celebration that the Jews have celebrated for thousands of years. And the celebration this year that the Jews celebrate will be September 8th. Until end of September, it is a celebration of the autumn. There are three main issues in this celebration. For in one way or another, these are connected to this text about this woman and this whole happening. When this sinful woman was carried before Christ. Where did the name come? Then we lived in huts, and they still build these huts. Men are allowed there, women do not go, but the men sleep in these huts. And these huts were built for that reason, that they remembered the wilderness journey of Israel when the Jews had to camp in the same way as we hear, sleeping tents and so forth. But back then, they did not even have tents or cars or caravans. They used what materials they could. And in remembrance of the 40-year wilderness journey, that is what he celebrated in memory of that Feast of the Tabernacles is the real name. Our life is short. It's as short as the width of our palm. It's like a dream that we forget in the morning. For that reason, a person should remember what is the most important matter. and I will shortly tell you the second part, how it's related to this woman. When we talk about the Feast of the Tabernacles, that celebration lasted 7 days, and the first and the last day especially. We see a nice presentation led by the high priest, and hundreds of other priests. There was a procession where they march on the streets, and they took water into a silver bowl and sang songs and psalms of the Old Testament, and the high priest carried water to the altar, and it was, and they poured it over the altar, and this had a, and this water and wine had a symbolic meaning, but we will not talk about that now. This happened on the first and last day, and on the seventh day of the feast, that the altar led by the high priest that the water, the bowl, was carried 7 times, and then the high priest lifted up the bowl so all the people would see and could see that this water was poured onto the altar, and the Jews remembered that they once had a king. And the high priest, in protest, celebrated, on purpose, protested, poured the water on the ground and not on the altar. This burnt offering, and this is also connected to the woman. And in the evening on the last day, into the women's area, there were put 4 candlesticks, and there was a heart on the candlesticks was prepared, was made from the robes of old priests, of the old robes of the priest. And people came with their own torches and took a light from these lights, and they put these torches by their doors and by their windows, and the city was very bright because it was lighted. And Jesus hollered at when the ceremony, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This symbolized that another Moses shall come. And when Moses struck, when the second Moses that God promised, that when he strikes the boulder in a wilderness, and when a Messiah comes, then Jerusalem should be cleaned. Jerusalem shall be cleaned of all sin and defilement. And Christ had 33 year olds yelled, hollered, and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as scriptures hath say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." When people lighted their torches, and as they say, celebrated all night in these tabernacles, and this woman ended up in the wrong tent, and the Pharisees and scribes notice, now we have a good situation. And the next morning, this woman was brought before Christ. And they said unto Christ, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" The law was clear. It said to be stoned. We heard that the law of Moses does not know grace. But it says here that the law was given by Moses. That Moses' law commanded us. It does not For the law of Moses condemns everyone. For one, we do not have to stone anyone because one person suffered and died on a cross for us. He did not come to take away the law of Moses, but he came to fulfill the law of Moses. How did Christ react? When they brought this woman, or dragged this woman, Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Christ was not provoked. He simply stooped down at rocks. The rocks there in the land of Christ, they flew very lightly. And even today, the rocks are thrown very lightly. That when people take power in the Holy Lands, it is such area. And it was the land of the Jews, and the Romans gave them the right to live there. Christ knew this. And so it says here in the 8th chapter of John, that here in the beginning, that they wish to stone this woman. And it says at the end, that they gathered rocks and they were going to stone Christ. They gathered rocks and were ready to stone Christ, but his time had not come, for they just disappeared. So he stooped down and drew on the ground. But they continued. They did not leave it at that. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself and said unto them. They try to say that the law of Moses has to be fulfilled, since it was written that he who commits adultery should be stoned. But if he should agree with the scribes and Pharisees, he would be no longer a friend of sinners. And he was known to be a friend of all sinners. But the law of Moses made judgment of an adulterer to be stoned. But the law of Rome, but only Rome and the governor of Rome had the legal action to give the death sentence. And they knew this. They wanted to go tell the Roman authorities that Christ is against the law of Rome, because he does not want the woman to be stoned. But when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up, and he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." That according to the law of the Moses, that the witnesses had to throw the first stones, and they would have broke the law of Rome, because only the governor could give the death sentence. So that is how finally he was able to answer this question. We do not know if all the people understood, but we know the Pharisees and scribes. But it looks like the wisest among them, and maybe Apostle Paul might have been there, as he was studying in Jerusalem at the time. It does not say here, but it says here at the eldest that they understood what Christ spoke. We do not know what Christ wrote into the ground, but we do know this, that the names of the children of God are written in the book of life in heaven. But where are those names? Where are written the names of those who are not in the book of life? Are they on the ground? I think the eldest and the wisdom amongst the scribes and Pharisees, they understood Jesus. We do not know what Christ wrote on the ground, for it's not said anywhere. But we do know how Christ affected, how his body language, he did not always need words. Remember when he looked at Peter, without saying anything, Peter began to cry. And Christ spoke with that language. And those who understood the Bible, they know what the prophet Jeremiah said, for it fits here. First of all, we were at the temple. The temple of Jerusalem. And that we must follow the law. And on the other side was 600 Roman soldiers. They kept peace. He spoke with that language that the wise people understood. But we knew these teachers of the law, whose duty it was to teach the law to the people, not only teach, but that they would write the law. We can be thankful today that we can read the Old Testament, which was their Bible. It has been copied word by word. Printing press was invented at the end of the 15th century. The duty of the law, teacher of the law, they wrote and listened to what does Jeremiah say? That they were before the temple, which was 50 meters high. It is said in this way. A glorious high throne from the beginning is a place of our sanctuary. O Lord, hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And the day before, Christ had said that he is the fount of living waters, that the Jews forsook. And when the Pharisees understood this body language, they did not have to know what Christ wrote. For the wisest one knew that second time that Christ bent down to write, they knew it was time to leave. And this lady, and they knew, these people knew that they had done this in the wrong way, for Christ looked at them in that way. And Christ wanted to speak to the sinful person, speak with the sinful person in privacy. Nobody was left, and Christ was able to speak with the adulterer in private, just as with the woman from Samaria, where Christ was able to keep a conversation with her. The words of Christ struck their conscience, was pricked. The people should, their conscience was pricked. They should have stayed and listened to Christ. And Christ would have had a lot to say. Jesus condemns sin. adultery was sin. Marriage is for man and woman. God made man and woman and then combined them together. And that became marriage. This is God's condition that man and woman shall be combined together, that they become one flesh. And God calls these couples as partners and gives them that duty, which is good today, which is good today. God has not changed his mind and works even today. Sin is everything that is against God's word. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. They did not allow adultery or divorces. But we know as believers that the gospel is power for us. And a third issue here is a third. That he promised to become and dwell in our hearts. When Christ said here, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. In this way, Christ gives us power, putting away sin and fighting against sin. Now, when a red light has come onto the mediator, we should fight against sin so that and allow Christ to dwell in our hearts, and we can carry God's kingdom within us, which is peace, joy, and freedom. Remain believing, all sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, unto peace, joy, and freedom. Be of a comforted mind. The freer of sin belongs to the people today, no matter what the names the sins are. In Jesus' name, amen.